This is Party Line on WILO 1570 AM and 96.9 FM. At your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. If you're listening live at 8:30, you're invited to give us a call locally at 765-659-3338 or toll-free at 1-800-447-4463. If you're listening to this program on our afternoon encore broadcast, don't call, just enjoy the show. Now let's join Party Line on 1570 AM and 96.9 FM WILO.
Good morning. Welcome to Party Line. It's a Friday morning. I want to thank our sponsors, Welty Custom Exteriors. Welty works for you. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, call today for delivery today. Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Ivy Tech Community College, Changing Lives, Simple Time Antique, Step Back into a Simple Time, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. I'm Kevin Keith. We have Clinton County Prosecutor Tony Sommer in the studio with us. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
I wanted to talk some local things here first, and then we'll get into a couple things. I feel like I'm preparing for court when you come in here. I've got papers everywhere.
And documents, evidence.
That's right. We're going to start with the WILO Skywatch weather forecast. Not as warm today. Partly cloudy. Chance of scattered showers this afternoon, says Ken Hartman, a high 82. Ken says there's a 30% chance this afternoon. And cooler tonight, cloudy, low down to 52. Be good football weather there. And then tomorrow things really change. Cooler, partly cloudy, high 68. That's my kind of weather, Tony.
More comfortable than what we have been.
That's so. Right, for sure. So, and it looks like next week, too, in the mid to low 70s most days for a daytime high. 76 now from WILO. It is quickly warming up. Well, there were a lot of posts yesterday on Facebook around, I don't know, maybe 2 o'clock, 2:30, people asking about lockout at the Frankfort High School and Frankfort Middle Schools for almost 30 minutes on Thursday. Now, I've got what came together yesterday, and I was going to see if there was an update on Clinton County Daily News this morning. I hadn't had a chance to look, but we were able to get on the air a little after 3 o'clock and let people know that there was a report of a shot fired in an apartment area on Mass Road, just north of the railroad tracks over there. So basically the police were called, and then they had a lockout at Frankfort Middle School and Frankfort High School. And once the police got on the scene, they pretty much figured out kind of what was going on. There were no danger to the students and everything. So they released students on time yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ken and I were able to cut in on that. So that's what happened there, and it was in the area of the Stone Ridge Apartments, according to Frankfort Police Chief Troy Bacon. A gunshot went through a wall at an apartment, so they're still investigating that matter. So with the beautiful weather this weekend, or at least beautiful according to me, I'll be having a live remote broadcast tomorrow morning over at just right around the corner here from WILO at Faith Family Church at 508 West Green Street right here in Frankfort. Now, they're going to be celebrating tomorrow with a car show, the end of summer car show, and that's from 10 till 1. I'll be there from 10 till noon eating a couple quarter-pound chili dogs. And
two?
I'm going to probably, yeah, half pound of chili dogs.
All right.
Ken Hartman said he'd like to see that. He won't be able to be there. He'll be at Grandma's cook-off, but I told him I'd eat one for him. But looking forward to that. So we'll be there. They're going to have DJ and live music, some Glover's ice cream. Now, after that, they're going to have an escorted cruise with Frankfort Police to the Cornerstone Church. They're going to have a big hog roast and car show out there and present some awards as well. So it should, it's so appropriately titled End of Summer, because it's going to be 66 for the high tomorrow, so we'll take that. WILO is in your neck of the woods, all over the place. This next week is going to be crazy for us, but we're having a lot of fun. I'll also have a live remote broadcast next Tuesday noon to 2 at the Frankfort Community Public Library, where we're going to try to get people registered to vote, Tony, for the National Voter Registration Day. Mm-hmm. So we'll be down there, and the staff at the library will have some Spanish-speaking members to help members of the public down there. So they're going to do it from 9 to 3, and you may need to bring some things. So if you want to call ahead and ask what you need to bring to provide documents or whatever, 765-654-8746, 654-8746 And as for Allison, she'll take care of you there. And then that is next Tuesday from noon to 2 for a live remote broadcast right here on WILO. And a special thanks to Center Township of Clinton County for sponsoring that and bringing that to you. Also next Wednesday is, well, the day after that, next Wednesday, is the WILO 29th Annual Senior Fair. We've got free admission, free breakfast, free lunch, and all kinds of free health screenings, too. The theme this year is Happy Days. It's brought to you by Center Township of Clinton County and Encompass Credit Union. On breakfast, we'll have that served by Hoops. It's sponsored by Goodwin Funeral Home and Archer Weston Funeral Home. And a free lunch sponsored by Beehive Memory Care and Kokomo Health Center. And Shoops will be providing that food. And our entertainment this year is a stand-up comedian slash motivational speaker, enthusiologist. How's that for a title, Tony? Enthusiologist.
That's
I like
an interesting title.
I like that. Jeff Riker, he'll be in Frankfurt for us. And the stage sponsor is State Senator Brian Buchanan. Now, new this year, we're going to have free shuttle service across Mash Road in conjunction with Kim Stevens and Frankfurt Main Street. And we'll basically, we ran out of room last year, frankly. So we've got approval from Don DeWeese at the Frankfurt Schools to use the end of the parking lot there. And then we'll have somebody shuttling over there to the Community Life Center. So we'll take care of that. Make your transportation arrangements now. If you get any questions, call Russ, myself, or Liz at 659-3338. We'd love to answer those for you, and we'll certainly see you there. It just gets bigger and bigger every year. Now, also that same day, we don't want to take away from what we're doing with the Senior Fair, but we try to be good stewards of the community. On the same day, if you're looking for a job, you might want to stop by the job fair. It's at the Rossville Community Library. Now, Staffing Resources Incorporated is holding this. They've got some pretty good pay in the area for several things, general assembly, welders, machine operators, and warehouse and forklift operators. So bring your ID if you go, along with Social Security card or birth certificate. It's a job fair this next Wednesday, 10 to 2, at 400 West Main Street in Rossville. That's at the Rossville Community Library. So we've got Clinton County Prosecutor Tony Sommer in here. If you'd like to talk to us, we've got him for about another 20 minutes at 659-3338. We would love to talk to you. First, we'll talk local, Tony. We know there's a plea hearing coming up on Monday, actually, here in Clinton County. Could you tell us about that?
There is. It's a case that has drawn a lot of attention just because of the tragedy involved. But the defendant in a case involving the death of two young ladies here in the community intends to enter a plea of guilty Monday in our circuit court at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, I know that the circuit court has been, in fact, busy on a civil trial all this week, which may spill into next week, depending on how. So the court's calendar is never under my control. It's under the judge's control.
Right.
So we'll have to see how all of that goes.
And you were telling Ken and myself off the air that this is one of the busiest years, prosecutorial-wise, maybe ever in Clinton County.
So far, it has been a historically high number of cases being filed this year in Clinton County at the beginning of the year, beginning of this month. It was 1,200 cases that we'd filed so far, and so that was still with nearly three full months to go. There have been years when we haven't filed 1,200 criminal cases in the entire year. So we are, at this point, at least, at historically high levels of criminal case filings.
You said some of your cases you're seeing a little more methamphetamine than heroin at this time.
We are, as far as the arrests that are being made over the past 6 months. We've seen a higher number of cases involving methamphetamine than we have involving heroin. Last year, the numbers between those cases wound up being practically in a dead heat.
Mm-hmm.
But this year so far, the methamphetamine arrests have been predominant.
So on a national level, Tony, while I have you here, a lawyer for a woman accusing Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh of sex assault decades ago says this morning she'd be willing to testify to the Senate Judiciary Committee next week if they could agree to some terms which ensure her safety. Sure. This is becoming quickly partisan, as we expected. But the email from an attorney for Christine Blasey Ford to Committee 8 says holding the session on Monday is impossible. Panel Chairman Chuck Grassley and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell have said Monday would be her chance to testify. Ford's lawyer says she's received death threats and other things. I know you don't want to predict anything, but any ideas on how this might turn out? Do you think that the congressional hearing will be able to satisfy her needs?
Well, these kinds of subjects always interest me, and so I've been following the reporting on this as well. The last reporting that was on the subject this morning indicates that even late yesterday there were still negotiations ongoing, and at this point Ms. Blasey Ford has talked about testifying Thursday. That's what she has offered to do, and then the committee chair for the Judiciary Committee, Chuck Grassley of Iowa, is contemplating whether or not to accept that as an offer, that the testimony, instead of being Monday, would be on Thursday in the case. And so I guess that's what it seems to be on a path. It appears that it will occur Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
It's always very unfair for everyone to take off and basically coming to a conclusion about what's true and what actually happened when no one has yet even heard the account from Ms. Blasey Ford.
Right.
We've heard a denial from the nominee for the Supreme Court, Brett Kavanaugh. But under the circumstances, it's very premature to come to any final judgments. I, you know, in the business that I'm in, I wait to see what the evidence actually sounds
right.
and looks like.
Right. And
so we haven't made it to that point yet. I think it's important for everyone to realize that although it's been 3 decades
right.
since the incident, that someone who's in the position of Ms. Blasey Ford doesn't just step forward for the fun of it. It's
right.
not fun
right.
Being on that side, being a person who has been a victim of some event in the past and stepping forward and naming and, you know, accusing someone of doing that. It's not a small step
right.
For a person to take. So I think there needs to be respect for everyone involved and let the process work its way out. You know, a congressional hearing is a very different environment than a court of law, which is the environment that I work in.
Right.
It's going to be partisanly charged, and it's probably going to be difficult in that environment to arrive at the same kind of certainty as to the truth of what happened that we arrive at in a court of law. But even in a court of law, you know, there's so much that never makes it
yeah.
into the courtroom.
Mm-hmm.
Facts that people never get to know, never get to hear. And so it's just
it is different. Yeah.
It is different. And so under the circumstances, I think that everyone kind of needs to ratchet down the rhetoric and just try to maintain some objectivity.
I think if I was Kavanaugh, I would almost request an FBI investigation just to get it out, just to be done with it.
You know, something I thought about in listening to the news reports, and that at one point, as I understood it, Ms. Blasey Ford was wanting to insist upon an FBI investigation, and that the FBI does prepare the background investigation on a Supreme Court nominee.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that process, they look at reports of misconduct for a nominee in the past. And I guess I have a little bit of insight on that process because when I worked for the Indiana State Police, the Indiana State Police here in Indiana do the same kind of background investigations on nominees for Supreme Court, for the state Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know what that process entails and how it gets done. But here we're talking at the federal level for the United States Supreme Court. And so the FBI, although aware of this accusation, didn't conduct an independent investigation of the event other than just reporting that the accusation had been made and deferred instead to the executive branch to tell them whether or not they wanted it further investigated. The statement that has come out from President Donald Trump is that he doesn't see a need for further FBI investigation into the incident. Following all of that, I've thought about that, and as I understand the nature of the accusation, it's an accusation of 3 people in a room, and we've already heard accounts from Mr. Kavanaugh denying it happened, the other person who was supposedly a friend of Mr. Kavanaugh, who was present in the room, says he doesn't recall the incident. otherwise doesn't appear to be willing to testify. And then we're yet to hear a full account from Ms. Blasey Ford. And so what else is there to investigate, I guess?
Right, right.
I guess that's my as I thought about it, it's kind of like, what else, what other information is there to gather three decades later?
Right. You know, that was my first question, too. I didn't know how the FBI would even start to investigate something that happened 33 years ago or whatever.
It can be done. We've talked about cold cases here before mm-hmm. on the air that you can go back and you can try to recover the ground by looking at it in a new way. Can you ascertain if there are other witnesses to events before and after that can help to paint the picture of that day?
Mm-hmm.
But as to the actual events that would be the real subject of the complaint, what happened in that room that day and who was involved, you already know the universe of people.
Right. Well, I had heard some Democrats floating the impeachment word, even mm-hmm. if he was to be nominated or confirmed. So I didn't realize that a Supreme Court justice could be technically impeached if
yes.
something came out, you know, yes. afterwards or something.
There can be impeachment proceedings, but we're hearing a lot of that from the Democrat side of the aisle these days, and discussion about all of the investigations that they want to start once they have the gavels after the fall elections and
right.
they've taken control of the House and or the Senate. And all of the things that they feel like need to be investigated and action being taken. So we're hearing a lot of that these days.
That makes me sick, and I'd say the same thing if it was Republicans doing it.
Well, if you think things are dysfunctional now, wait until all of that happens. Okay?
I know. We'll see how that pans out in November. Then.
There you go.
I saw this week that the Trump administration has awarded Indiana around $25 million to fight the opioid epidemic. Mm-hmm. Isn't most of that supposed to go for maybe some housing or some
it's actually spread in a bunch of different directions, as I understood the announcement on the funds that are being made available. It's going to be things that are related to treatment for people with addictions to
right.
opioids, as well as support and assistance to law enforcement as they're investigating cases. So the monies are actually being spread in a bunch of different directions.
And that's probably a good thing, isn't it? I mean,
sure.
$25 million for the state. I mean, mm-hmm. if you can reach out and touch each county a little bit, you know,
exactly.
with an influx of something, I mean, by gosh, it sure can't hurt. Well, I'll say that. I saw also where, let's see, where we got here. I wanted to ask you, we were talking a little bit about the United States Supreme Court, and I saw on the IndianaLawyer.com, which I check out a couple times each week, they had an article on the Indiana Supreme Court and some of the recent decisions in the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading down there, and I'll be honest, there were a few I didn't understand what they were talking about. But what does the – I'm just going to ask a real general question. What does the state Supreme Court deal with? They're in session just year-round, right?
That's correct.
Wow.
And they are taking cases that come up from the lower courts in the state of Indiana. They are the – highest authority with regard to matters in the state of Indiana. So there are jurisdictional issues where after a decision by the Indiana Supreme Court, in fact, the decision they make may be taken up to the United States Supreme Court. It's not as if they're the final authority on all questions that they answer, but they are the highest state court that will deal with issues here in Indiana. Cases come to them as a matter of statutory jurisdiction when there are differences between Court of Appeals panels, then it is ripe territory for a question to be taken up to the state Supreme Court. There are levels of penalty for criminal cases that are automatically eligible for review being taken up on appeal. Some of the issues that come before our state Supreme Court are discretionary on their part, just like the federal Supreme Court, where parties will ask to take their question
right.
before the state Supreme Court, and the state Supreme Court can decide whether or not it's an issue that they wish to hear.
Okay. So it covers quite a bit.
And it covers civil and criminal. It's broad coverage, and some of it's mandatory and some of it's discretionary.
All right. Very good. Talking with Clinton County Prosecutor Tony Summer this morning. If you'd like to give us a call, we'll have him for about another 7 minutes. at 659-3338 or 800-447-4463. Also saw where Governor Roy Cooper in North Carolina is calling for lawmakers to return to Raleigh for a special session to fund recovery efforts for Hurricane Florence. I think they've been out of session for a couple months now, and he's trying to get them back so they can see what they can do. Cooper called the destruction he's seen in the eastern half of his state historic and said now is the time to come together to begin rebuilding. He's calling on the General Assembly to convene October 9th. There's been 31 storm-related deaths in the state, and flooding continues to be a problem. Ken and I were talking about this a couple days ago. We knew flooding was going to be a problem with this, and we were talking about where we were from. We remember when we were younger, the rivers cresting at, you know, 20 or 25 feet. And the it was, I think the Cape Fear River crested at 62 feet or something a couple days ago on Tuesday. That's hard to imagine.
And they still have some areas in the Carolinas that are looking at their highest level of flooding is still to come over the next couple of days. And so they're not done there yet in terms of how much flooding they're going to have.
The water has to go somewhere, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Historic amounts of rain with that storm for that area.
So Hurricane Florence is gone but not forgotten. North Carolina still dealing with that flooding, as we said. Governor Cooper noted Thursday nearly 5,000 rescues, which is twice as many as were needed during Hurricane Matthew just 2 years ago. Heavy rainfall pushed many rivers past their banks. They said use caution if you're driving around. People are starting to get out. I mean, I understand being a little stir crazy, but you still got to be careful. I think one of the smartest things I heard the governor say this week was just because the sun's out doesn't mean it's safe. You know?
Sure.
That really kind of put it in perspective.
Well, they're going to be dealing with a number of issues for a while there because of all of the damage that's been caused. And I think that, you know, high water damage to homes, high dollar damage was being quoted by the governor for the state there. I was listening to that this morning. So, yeah, a lot of problems those folks are going to be continuing to deal with. And I'm sure that if you look, you'll find ways here locally where you can try to contribute to organizations that are trying to provide assistance to the people in the Carolinas.
They'll certainly need the help for sure. Okay, one more thing here. I saw this morning. Didn't get a chance to investigate it a whole lot, but have you heard the story that the former CEO of Google says that he sees two internets over the next decade?
That is not one that I've read yet.
Okay, I think it's relatively new this morning. The former CEO of Google is predicting two internets in the next decade, one led by China, another led by the United States. I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around this, so I'm going to read it with you all right here.
Yeah, I don't really know that there's two internets. It's just one internet that goes through changes when it is providing services in the Chinese territories.
Okay, so, okay.
To me.
Okay. Eric, we'll learn together here,
there
okay?
Sure.
Eric Schmidt was speaking at a private event in the investment firm Village Global VC hosted on Wednesday and said, rather than a hard split, he foresees a small split or two branches. Schmidt says China is doing some impressive things with internet development and criticized the short-term approach many U.S. companies are taking. He pointed to the Belt and Road Initiative China recently announced, which is an infrastructure agreement worked out with about 60 nations. Schmidt said those countries may agree to take on more Chinese infrastructure even at a cost of some freedom. The current CEO of Google announced earlier that they are working on a search engine for China that will meet the government's censorship requirements. That sort of makes sense now.
There you go. And that's what I'd understood. There were actually some employees at Google who resigned their positions after protesting Google's cooperation with Chinese authorities.
I saw that a couple weeks ago,
a search engine that satisfied not only the censorship requirements, but also basically was going to act like a system that would point out people who were posting things that the government didn't like.
Oh, okay.
And so it's not just censorship, because you have to realize that if you're in China and you're saying things the government doesn't like, they imprison you.
Right, right. It's a different deal there.
For Google to cooperate with a search engine that helps to identify and find those people, I understand why those people quit their jobs.
Right.
I understand.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't seem to right as us as Americans.
No, it does not.
A scary thing, the girlfriend, she's been Googling, she's had a little foot pain, so she's been Googling some foot pain. And she said that the next day, by gosh, it started to show up in her Facebook feed.
Exactly. Oh,
that's scary.
That's the other thing that I see. Is
man.
That, Google and Facebook both, what I notice in terms of my use of internet services from those providers, is that anything that I am looking at, posting, searching for, that I will immediately start receiving information fed to me on that subject matter. And actually, that's deeply disturbing.
It is very disturbing to me, too.
It's deeply disturbing to me. And I also noticed that the way that the automatic feeds work on the home pages now seems to be providing me with only a slice of information in that area and not a broader picture. In other words, they're trying to figure out what is interesting to me and then feeding me only information of one type rather than balanced information on the
right.
subject by the automatic feeds.
Which is even more disturbing. That's another layer of disturbing.
Yeah. So this is where, you know, it's becoming trite almost now to talk about things like fake news and that kind of thing. But it's where those concepts really kind of take hold in terms of how we look at things is that we're being presented at times with an imbalanced picture of reality. That people are literally filtering and screening the information that we see to help change our decision without us ever knowing it.
Right.
That is disturbing.
Well, we'll continue to monitor that, and I don't know if there's a whole lot we can do about that. That you know, you get into regulations and stuff and everything.
Well, I think the people always, and this is kind of the premise of our form of government, it's the people who hold the power. If we demand different, we'll get different because
the
people are the boss.
Yeah, good point. Thanks for reminding me of that, Tony. And appreciate you coming in. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks to our sponsors, too, Welty Custom Exteriors. Welty works for you in Compass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, like a good neighbor, Susan is there. Sparrow's Florist and Greenhouse, call today for delivery today. Milner Healthcare, Hardesty Landscaping, Ivy Tech Community College, Changing Lives, Simple Time Antique, step back into a simple time, and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. Ken Hartman will join me next on WILO.
We now pause for station identification. We're that little building on the west end of town with antennas on top of the roof. This is WILO Frankfort.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it right at your fingertips. We have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representatives. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
At Milner Community Healthcare, we're blessed to be a part of restoring people's lives every day. From our loving and dedicated nursing team to our highly skilled therapist, Milner is your place for short-term rehabilitation. We treat a wide range of conditions using clinical programs proven to get the best results. Our goal is the same as yours, to get you back to good health and home as quickly as possible. Make the right choice for your recovery. Choose Milner Community Healthcare.
Our members often ask us, is this loan too small? The answer is probably not. From holiday loans to get through the Christmas season, to braces, guitars, or even that big screen TV you've been wanting. Here at Encompass, we work with you on loans both big and small. So stop by or apply online today. Encompass Credit Union, community-minded just like you. Federally insured by NCUA, online at EncompassCU.org.
People ask a lot of questions about Ivy Tech Community College. Like, if I start my bachelor's at Ivy Tech, will any four-year school take my transfer credits? Sure, dozens. We have transfer agreements with IU, Purdue, and lots more colleges and universities in and out of state. Last year, more than 31,000 of our students transferred credits. And this year, we'd love to help you join them. Find your answers at ivytech.edu/FAQ. Then apply for free at ivytech.edu.
Let's get back to Party Line. If there's something on your mind or you have a question for our guest, call us toll-free at 1-800-447-4463 or locally 659-3338. Now let's rejoin Party Line on WILO AM and FM.